Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America. A big part of praying for America is praying for America's churches. And I know that you patriots and believers from across this land are convinced of that. And we're going to talk about a very important aspect of that tonight with a very special guest whom I want to introduce even before we go into our scripture and our prayer. He is an author, a speaker, a conservative talk show host. He is known to many of you and to many others as well. And he's been a great friend and ally in these battles that we're all engaged in. And he is Eric Metaxas. Eric is the author of The Letter to the American Church, which is what we're going to talk about today. And Eric, welcome to Praying for America.
Privileged to be here, Father Frank. Thank you.
It's a joy to have you with us. Let's go into the Word of God. I chose a scripture here that I think is particularly appropriate for our conversation, and it is from Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. And Jesus said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Let us pray. Father, we pray tonight for America, and we pray for the American church. Lord, we pray that these words may shape our very hearts and minds and souls, that we are here to bear witness in what we say, to bear witness by what we do, to bear witness by leading in your holy name. Lord God, we ask for the gift of courage. We ask for the gift of wisdom. We ask for the discernment that neutrality is not an option when your kingdom is under assault, when truth and life and fundamental human rights and freedom are under assault. There is no call to neutrality. There is no room for neutrality. Help us, Lord God, to be faithful. Help us to be strong witnesses that when Jesus Christ returns in all his glory, we may in fact not be ashamed, but may be exultant and glorified with him. We ask this through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, welcome once again, Eric. You have authored The Letter to the American Church. It's one of, by the way, several really fantastic contributions that you've made in your work. You know, especially my team here at Priests for Life and I have really benefited from your writings, and I think particularly of Amazing Grace and William Wilberforce and looking at the fight against slavery. So many parallels with the work we're doing against abortion. But tell us about this latest work of yours that is not only a book, but a documentary film, which I've seen, by the way, in all its entirety. Tell us about The Letter to the American Church.
Well, interestingly enough, the sequel to Letter to the American Church is just out this week. It's called Religionless Christianity. It's a Bonhoeffer term. Basically, the real issue is, you know, I mean, it's kind of a funny thing how God plans, right? Like the way God does what he's going to do. I never thought I would write biographies. I never thought I would be speaking about the things that I'm speaking about. But the fact is that God kind of set me up to write this book on William Wilberforce. In 2007, it came out, right? And it's, of course, as you know, it's a biography of this Christian hero who stood against the slave trade. And it really becomes a model, even though I didn't plan it that way, for our battle against abortion. There's no doubt about it. So I wrote that book, never planned to write a biography. Then people kept saying, who are you going to write about next? Who are you going to write? So I wrote about Bonhoeffer. The Bonhoeffer book, in a way, it was very personal to me because my mom, I'm in my parents' house right here, grew up in Nazi Germany. And when I wrote the Bonhoeffer book, I thought, what is the center of this story? There's a brilliant film coming out on Dietrich Bonhoeffer in November. Angel Studios is releasing it. And the story is ultimately about the failure of the church to stand against evil. It's really that simple. Bonhoeffer was trying to rally the church to stand against evil. And similar to the Wilberforce story, when I wrote the Bonhoeffer story, I thought, okay, I'm telling a story about a Christian hero. I'm not really thinking about parallels. Well, the Bonhoeffer story, when I wrote it, a lot of people, myself included, said, you know, I could see these things happening in America. They're sort of happening already. And then 2020 comes. We've never seen anything like it. Evil coming swiftly from every quarter. And what I saw was the church doing exactly, when I say the church, I'm speaking about the evangelical church, but churches in general, Christians did exactly what the German Christians did in the 1930s. Most of them said, you know what? This is not our battle. We're just going to do church. We're just going to stay in this little theological, ecclesiastical sphere. We don't want to get involved in politics. We don't want controversy. We're just going to play nice. That's what the German church did. And the results of that is that Satan poured out hell on earth because of the silence and inaction of Christians. And so I wrote Letter to the American Church because the parallels were so stunning to me. I mean, so anybody who reads the book, you don't have to be where I am politically. It's just stunning that the parallels between the silence of the German church in the 30s and the silence of the American church right now are unbelievable. Same excuses are given. That people pointed to Romans 13. It's very clear. We're supposed to obey the governing authorities. That's that. Well, what happens when the governing authorities are wicked and they're telling you to do things contrary to your Christian conscience? Are you going to fight? Are you going to stand against it? Or are you just going to roll over? Many Christians rolled over, and it's a scandal. So I really believe, Father Frank, that the Lord called me to write this book. I don't say that kind of thing lightly. And it just struck a nerve, and more people would say to me, oh, I bought copies for all the pastors in my area, or I've given copies. People seem to understand that we need to know what happened in Germany, and unless we wake up now and stand now and speak up now against this host of evils, we are going down the same path. In fact, we've gone well down the same path. We're a long way down the same path.
We have. So
people made a film of it called Letter to the American Church. Anybody can see it. The website is lettertotheamericanchurch.com. We offered it free to churches. Or it's a very nominal fee, I think, now because so many churches signed up. But if you go to the website, Letter to the American Church, there are tons of churches across America playing the film. And the new book, Religionless Christianity, it's a Bonhoeffer phrase trying to deal with this idea. How do we avoid the error that the German church fell into? How do we avoid being merely religious? How do we avoid that and do what God calls us to do and really live out our Christian faith and not just be playing church? So that's the long version.
You know, you and I are so much on the same page, not only intellectually, but practically in the things we're doing day by day. Because as I think you know, at the beginning of our ministry of Priests for Life, it was very much inspired by something that Dr. Bernard Nathanson said, who, as you know, was an architect, a key architect of the abortion industry in America. He said, and these were his exact words, speaking of himself and his colleagues that started the abortion movement, he said, we would have never gotten away with what we did if you, the clergy, had been united, purposeful, and strong. Yeah. And I heard him say that in person. He's written about that. And it's one of the things that caused him to be connected with our work. It's the same thing. I mean, he's saying it as someone who came over from the other side. He said, we counted on the silence of the church to get this Holocaust started in America.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing.
And again, and that's only the life issue. Now, you and I know that's, it doesn't get more important than that. But the thing is, we now have a host of evils having arisen because of the silence of the church, the transgender madness. It's a satanic madness that has descended upon so many people. And now for Christians, it's open and shut. It's very basic. Couldn't be more basic. God made us in his image, male and female. That's about it. Now, you don't need to be a Christian to understand that. Most human beings understand that. So this madness has come. Lives are being destroyed. Families are being torn apart. And many churches are silent. And so what I say over and over and over again is, if you're going to a church where they're being silent, get out. For the sake of your soul, get out. Find a place where people are part of the battle for truth, for goodness against evil. We've got to get political. We've got to get involved in everything, because the Lord doesn't call us to be merely religious. He calls us to live out our faith in absolutely every sphere. And that's what Letter to the American Church is about. That's what the film is about. And the new book, Religionless Christianity, tries to explain how Christians can get it wrong, how we make these religious idols, which give us comfort because they give us the illusion that we're worshiping God, but we're not. We're worshiping religious idols rather than God. And it's, you know, there's nothing worse than religiosity without God in the middle of it. There's something particularly satanic about that.
Exactly. Well, for those that are just joining us, we are talking with our friend Eric Metaxas. He is an author, a speaker, a talk show host, and really has made such a great contribution to a theme that we deal with all the time, and that is the church must wake up. The church must be infused with a new courage. We're dealing with battles today on which the church cannot be neutral. And Eric, I wanted to talk about that concept of neutrality. I brought it up in the prayer, and it comes across clearly in the film, Letter to the American Church. Talk to us about that, because so many feel like they can be above the fray. There's this sort of, I don't know what to call it, sort of like an elitism, clerical elitism, like they, we're above the fray. You know, we're on the sidelines, and that's where we're supposed to be.
It all depends on what you're talking about. There's a time to be neutral. There's a time to say, well, you know, you like vanilla, I like chocolate. Yeah. We don't need to argue. Let's focus on the Lord. Good. Well, when people say, you know, both sides have a point, not if one side is the devil, right? And we are dealing in America with Marxist atheism. We're not dealing with all the, you know, I always say that it's like people kind of act like Tip O'Neill is the head of the Democratic Party or Jimmy Carter. No. What we're dealing with now is open rebellion against God in every form. We've never seen anything like it. Now, there's plenty of it in the Republican Party, but the Democrats have it wrapped up. They're not just the party that's pro-abortion, pro-late-term abortion. They are for every lunacy that militates against the God of the Scripture. And pretend that I can be on neutral ground. The day has changed. The world has changed. And we need to fight. And anybody who says, and there are plenty of people that say, like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, I'm sort of being this middle ground, just like the German churches. They thought that they're being neutral. They thought that they're going to be on the fence. They don't need to choose. And what I say over and over is, here's the news. The devil owns the fence. You need to know if you're on the fence, you're working for him. That's a fact. Things have changed. You can no longer be, you say, well, we've got people of both parties in our congregation. One party, and again, this is putting it mildly, but one party has turned away from all of the founding principles of America. One party has turned away from God explicitly, brazenly. When President Biden declared Resurrection Sunday the national day of trans visibility, whatever demonic lunacy it was, that was the first time I've seen a brazen wickedness at Christians, at God. It's a new day in America. And if people don't understand, the Lord called you into his presence to be part of his community, to fight against evil, not to sit on the sidelines. And I want to say to people, it's a glorious adventure. If you're not in it, you're missing something. If you're not in it, you're working for the dark side, because the devil wants silent Christians. That's perfect. If there's a church doing nothing except playing church on Sunday, that's really not the goal of life. The goal of life is to be in the battle for God's purposes 24/7, not just on Sunday morning.
You know, so many people will say to you and me when we urge the church to do just what you're saying now, especially with engagement in politics, is, oh, we don't want the church is becoming too political. And my response to that is, no, that's not the problem. The problem is that the politics have become too pagan. So they think about it like, well, we don't want the church going out of its lane and into the political realm. But what you just outlined, to say it in other words, is that the political realm has gone into the lane of the church. Is battling
it's
against fundamental-
when people say that. I just want to be really clear. When people say the church is not supposed to be political, that is not biblical. That is right. Not church teaching. Church teaching is you're supposed to take your faith into every sphere. When slavery was an issue, it was Christians that stood boldly, not dead churchgoers, not religious people, serious Christians stood against the slave trade. They said it is an abomination, and we're going to use politics. We're going to do everything we can. Wilberforce was a politician. This lie that people buy, it really is wicked. And we have to be very, very clear. This is wicked. There's nothing pious about it.
Eric, I want to read something for you here and have you comment on this. I think part of the problem here is not just that, you know, there is an innate fear, you know, we tend towards being cowards and we got to constantly battle against that human tendency. But part of the problem here with the silence of the American church is that pastors being told to be silent from some misguided religious leaders higher up on the ladder. So this is a letter from a bishop, a currently active United States bishop, to his diocese and his churches. Listen to what he says in part. He says, a new political cycle has begun. We need to be cautious not to side with any political party's stance. And then at the end of the note, he says this, I am notifying you to refrain from writing and or speaking from the pulpit about any matter that may contribute or cause disunity and anger among our brothers and sisters. I wouldn't know, even if I wanted to, how to implement something like that.
Look, men of God can work for the devil. We've seen it before. It's happening now. You can be a man of God or a woman of God. You can be working for the devil. God will judge you, but people get deceived. And I just want to be clear, folks. This is why each of us has to know right from wrong, so that I don't care who tells you what. You need to know, no, that is wrong. If you do not speak politically, if you're a pastor or a priest and you do not counsel your flock to do what is right and good and true in every sphere, including the political, you are working for the devil. It is a horrible, horrible thing. It is happening in America. And that's why Christians have to wake up. You have to wake up. You have to be responsible. God wants you to have a direct relationship with him, because if there's some Christian leader telling you something wrong, you need to know, excuse me, that's not what God says. That is not what the church teaches. And we have a lot of people kind of bumbling along, having no idea that they're working with the enemy for his purposes in our time. And look, lives are being destroyed. So the scripture commands us to love our neighbors. How do you love your neighbor if you say nothing and do nothing when evil things are happening? I just want to be real clear that this preposterous idea that we're not supposed to be involved politically, it makes no sense. It's not biblical. It's not what we're called to as Americans. It's absolute nonsense. It's usually pushed by the left, and bishops and Christian leaders that are pushing this have no problem with the left taking over and destroying human lives. And that is the result of it.
Eric, we're quickly at the end of our time here. I want to have you join me and the rest of our viewers to say the Lord's Prayer together. But thank you for this work. And again, tell our audience how they can connect with it and even have it shown in their parish.
Yes, the book and the film are called Letter to the American Church. You can go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com. Everything is there. You can get the DVD. You can watch it there. You can sign up for a church screening, or you can see where the church screenings are in your area. lettertotheamericanchurch.com. And then the sequel, my new book, is called Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil, which takes stuff from Bonhoeffer and on and on and on to kind of explain more about how we avoid this evil idea of playing church rather than being the church. So lettertotheamericanchurch.com. ericmetaxas.com or my website, ericmetaxas.com.
Fantastic. Let's turn to the Lord together. I want to ask his blessing on you and upon all our viewers. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you place before us living in these times, the opportunity to bear witness to your kingdom, to the truth of the gospel, just the truth in general, Lord, that we know that it is under attack. And we ask you, Lord, give a blessing to all those pastors who are standing up and to all of the rest of us who are standing up. Bless the work of Eric, bless his family and all his team, and give success and give even more fruit to the work of his hands and to the work of our hands, all of us together, working to reinvigorate the American church and indeed to save America herself. Lord God, send us your blessing now as we lift up everyone who is watching and listening, and ask you to meet all the needs of your people. And we sum up all our prayers and praises in the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Eric Metaxas, it's an honor to have you with us. We'll be working a lot more together. We'll be getting the word out about this far and wide. And thank you for being on the program today.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all, brothers and sisters. And join us again tomorrow on Praying for America.
Hello, I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.